Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll begin our study to Quran chapter 16, which is named the bees. Yes, it is the bees from which we make our honey. That is the name of Quran chapter 16. Chapter 16 has 128 verses, and all of it is Makki, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn, meaning it was written in the days before Muhammad migrated to the city of Medina, except the last three verses. And I personally believe that that chapter was written in the late time where Muhammad used to live in Mecca before he migrated to the city of Medina. Let's look at chapter 16, verse 1, which goes as follows. The command of Allah has come, so do not hasten it. Praise be to Him, and He is exalted above what they partner. Notice here that Muslim scholars will tell you in their interpretation to that verse, yes, the command of Allah had drawn near to the people. So do not hasten its fulfillment. What fulfillment? The fulfillment of the command of Allah. But that's not actually an easy verse to understand. Why? Because as you continue to read the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, we discover the following. Yes, the scholars of Islam, the interpreters of the Quran, disagree about what is that command? What is Allah talking about? What is about to come near them? And that is exactly how ridiculous is the scholars' interpretation to almost all the verses of the Quran. They do not know what Allah meant by what He said. So here is some of the interpretations. According to Al-Dahhak and Jubir and Sana ibn al-Mubarak, they said that what Allah meant, the command of Allah is near. He's talking about the judgment of Allah, the laws of Allah, the ordinance of Allah. This is just simply one interpretation. Well, how about the following interpretation? That is, when Muslim scholars told us, no, what Allah meant by the command of Allah is actually the threats of Allah to the people of shirk, to the polytheists, for He informs them that the hour is now near and that their terrorization time has come. Their torment is here. That's why, as I told you earlier, I believe that Quran chapter 16 was written just in the end of time of Muhammad living in Mecca. If that's what he meant, that the threat and the terrorization and the torment of the people of Mecca has arrived, this has to be tied to Muhammad's migration out of the city of Mecca, because he would not have said that if he still had a few more years to live with them in Mecca. Now, Al-Tabari will tell you that he is in agreement with the second opinion, which is the threats against the people of infidelity, those who did not believe in Islam and those who did not believe in the messenger of Islam. For Allah here was informing them that the torment and the destruction of them is at hand. Yes, indeed. That's how we know for sure Islam is love, Islam is peace. Here we see Muhammad terrorizing the people and threatening the people for their life. Now, in verse 2, Allah stated, He sent down the angels with the Spirit by His Amr. And the word Amr here is the word command, which is a non-Arabic word from Aramaic origin, on whom He wills of His servants that warn, there is no God except Me, so fear Me. How Al-Jalalayn interpreted that verse is very simple. He said the angels will come down with the command of Allah. And then he said, meaning Gabriel, wait a minute, I thought Allah said angels, plural. How can the interpretation for the word angels is now singular, which is one angel, Angel Gabriel, or Jibril, as Muslims pronounce it in the Arabic Quran. This does not make any sense. If Allah said angels, then you need to give me at least three names of three angels or more, because that is what the word angels in the plural form means in the grammar of the Arabic language. But then he said, with the spirit. And what is the spirit here? It is actually, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalayn, the revelation. Wait a minute. I thought Muslims believe that the spirit is Angel Jibreel. So now we have a problem. A new understanding or a new interpretation to what Allah meant by what he said. First of all, angels is plural. So you have that Jibreel here is given wrong. Second, when you talk about with the spirit must be Jibreel himself, not the revelation, which is the wording of the Quran. And what is so amazing, according to the interpretation of Ibn Kathir, that these prophets or these messengers who receive such a revelation, they use it to warn the people, to terrify the infidels concerning the torment which is coming to them. And the prophets or the messengers will teach them to fear Allah, meaning to be afraid of Him. Not the fear of reverence or the fear of belief. No. To be really terrified of Him. Now, let us look at this revelation which was sent by Allah through Jibreel or whatever interpretation Muslims will come up with to see. Is there really any information there, like new information, something we have never heard of before, or something it is impossible to understand by the naked eye? I mean, I want to look at the following few verses to see how great is the Quran, the revelation of Allah, and the command of Allah which is given to Muhammad in the Quran. That's why we have to read the following verses slowly and carefully to make sure we don't miss anything. For here we go in verse 3. He created the heavens and the earth with the truth. He is exalted above what they partner. You see, Allah created the heavens and the earth with the truth. That is something we never heard of in the Christian beliefs or in the Jewish belief. And He is exalted, that's Allah, about all the partners. You see, all the partners which the infidels of Christ were worshiping, they did not create anything, but Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Notice, heavens is plural and earth is singular, even though the Quran teach there are seven each. So why Allah here forgot to mention the earth in the plural form? I do not know. Now let's look at the creation of human in verse 4. He created the human from Natfa. So behold, he is an obvious opponent. What is a Natfa? We talked about that in a full study, which was titled by The Miraculous Mistakes of Muhammad. Or we can say the miraculous mistakes of the Quran, because that's where we read these errors concerning the Natfa. Let me read to you the bold statement which we put before that verse, which will give you a short and quick answer. Another biological error is recorded in the Quran. Muhammad claims that there are two fluids which he called Natfa. Natfa, male, and female sexual discharges, is the combination of white fluid, semen, that was said to originate in the male's backbone and is mixed with yellow fluid, which is originates in the breast of the woman. And when they mix together, that bring another word in the Quran, which is Natfa Amshaj, which is mixed to fluid. This is a huge error. And anybody who have any logic about embryology or the true conception of babies will figure out that what we read in Quran chapter 16 and verse 4 is nothing but foolishness. Add to that, I don't think Muhammad understands the word create. Once again, I will emphasize that the word create is to bring something to existence out of nothing. Man was not created from Natfa. But man, that is the first Adam, was created from dirt, as we read in the scripture, and God made Adam from dirt. This is the first error about the beautiful revelation which Allah sent to Muhammad through angel Jibreel.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Let's continue to verse 5. "And the livestock he created for you, in them warmth and gainful uses, and from them you eat." Wow, can't you see that? This is very important information. No one can figure it out by his naked eyes. Yes, livestock, we get wool or hair out of them where we can get warm. Even if you will wear the skin as clothes, you get warm. And gainful uses. I do not know what is a gainful uses Muhammad is talking about, but what is so good about it also is the last portion of that verse when he said, "And from them you eat." So now we got meat out of the livestock, and that meat we eat. Wow. Can't you see? Quran chapter 16 and verse 5 is very important. Something we could not figure out without the word of Allah in the Quran. Now let's move on. One more verse. That is Quran chapter 16 and verse 6. Because here we learn a little bit more about the livestock. For Allah said, "And in them you have beauty when you rest them and when you herd them." Yes, indeed. Al-Jalalain told us that the beauty of these livestock is when you bring them to the barn at night, because that's when they rest. And the beauty also in it when you take them out in the morning that they may go and graze in the field. Wow, can't you see some real important information from that revelation of Allah to Prophet Muhammad? Let's continue. In verse 7 we read, "And they carry your burdens to a country which you would not be able to otherwise reach, except with hardship of soul. Surely your Lord is compassionate, merciful." Man, oh man, here we go. Thank God for the camels. If it was not for the camels, it would be so hard for my great, 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 great grandpa in Egypt to carry some furniture or some heavy loads from one city to another city in Egypt. You know what? If that's the case about the creation of Allah, man is better creator than Allah, because now I can have a big 18-wheeler where I can put 20 of them camels on it with other stuff I want to carry, not from one city to another, but from one country to another. As a matter of fact, the creators of the aeroplane are much smarter than Allah, because I can put these 18-wheelers, bunch of them, inside a big aeroplane and I move it from one continent to another continent. You know how ridiculous is that? Muhammad's vocabulary, his information about the creation of man is wrong, because man was not created from nutfa, some fluid from the backbone of the man and the breast of a woman. And concerning the creation of the livestock, it is not that smart anymore in the 21st century. because I can make much better clothes from other stuff than the hair or the wool of the camel, and I can eat lots of different food besides the meat of such animals. And by the way, I do not see so much beauty in having some animals in the back of my house with a bad smell, and there is beauty and many other things which we can see in the universe. I'm not saying that the creation of God is not beautiful, but we're talking about the creation of some livestock, some cows, camel, deer, whatever. By the way, the traveling with aeroplane is much faster than using any livestock. Also, we can carry more material than that on the livestock. In verse 8, we read, "And the horses and the mules and the donkeys that you may ride them, and an ornament, and he creates what you do not know." Wow. Now we learn about horses, mules, and donkeys. Don't forget, my Subaru go much faster than all these animals. And I do not know how much ornament can we get out of these animals. But what is so important, that Allah created other things we do not know. You know how ridiculous that is? Because it is very simple. We can go in the book of John chapter 1 and the first 3 verses. We'll learn about the creation. I do not need the Quran to learn about creation. And here is what God said. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him." Who is Him here? The Word of God, the creator of all things. "And without Him," the Bible said, "nothing was made that was made." Do you want to know that Word of God who created everything? It's very simple. We can go to verse 14. As the scripture said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here we go, Prophet Muhammad. Here we go, my dear Muslim friends. It is Jesus Christ who created everything. I do not need to read Quran chapter 16 to learn about ridiculous information which anyone and everyone with a naked eye can see and can understand without the reading of the Quran. In verse 9, Muhammad said, "And it is on Allah to show the way. Some of them are deviating, and if Allah wills, He would guide you all." What did Allah mean by that? It's very simple. Allah is the one who shows a straight way. But some of the ways which Allah create does not go straight. Why is that? Because it's up to Allah. If Allah desired to guide all the people, He would have made just one straight way. But if Allah guides some and Allah lead astray others, therefore Allah have to create different ways. Ways straight and ways is crooked. And whomever Allah choose to guide to His guidance, He will put them on the straight way. And whomever Allah choose to mislead or lead astray, He will put them on the crooked ways. Can you imagine? This is the Allah, the God of Muhammad, who Muslims believe in. That is not the God of the Bible. The true creator of the Bible, as we read in the book of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, 3, is Jesus Christ. And that true God, the loving God, became flesh to save all mankind, that through Him can receive forgiveness for our sin, and we'll be able to be guided to the straight way. God does not want anybody to be led astray. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only creator. He is the way, the truth, and the life. As He stated in John 14:6, that no one can come to the Father except through Him. Well, let's move on with a couple more verses about the miracle of the rain. In Quran chapter 16, verse 10, we read, "He," that is Allah, "is who sent water from the heaven for you. From it you drink, and from it trees on which you feed. By it," we're still talking about the rain here, "He planted for you the plants and the olives and the palm trees and the grapes and all the fruit. Surely in this is a sign for people who reflect." Do you understand what's happening here in the Quran? Muhammad is not telling us about any of the biblical stories of the true creation, or Noah, or Moses, or Abraham, or Joseph, or David, or any of the stories of the Bible. So he has to make up his own poetry. And his own poetry is nothing but a comedy. You do not need revelation from Allah to figure out that water come down from heaven, that is rain, and everything grow by the rain. And even we drink the water of the rain. You do not need a prophet or a messenger to come to teach you about the rain and what the rain does on earth. But what is so amazing, Muhammad throughout the Quran could not name four fruits. He actually named here olives, palm tree, grapes. And then he added, and all the fruit. Well, I thought grape is fruit. I thought date, which comes from the palm tree, is fruit. So why not Muhammad mentions the orange and the banana and the pear and all the other fruit? No, he did not know that there are other fruit besides that which he mentioned. Yes, we have olives and palm tree and grapes. But besides that, in Muhammad days in Saudi Arabia, there were not too many other fruit. Therefore, he does not want to name some and leave others. So he just named three, and then he added, and all the fruit. And what is so important about the beauty of the revelation of Allah in the Quran is that surely in this is a sign for people who reflect. I'm sorry, there is no sign, there is no miracle in these verses which we have shared with you today in our broadcast for our commentary in Quran chapter 16. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.